This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to our second week, all about Jet Li, the legend himself. Last week, we talked about Fearless. We kind of started at the end, and now we're like jumping to the beginning? Question mark? Right? I think we talked about like 90s was the big era that he kind of blew up in.
Yeah.
And this was one of those movies. And this week, we watched Fist of Legend, not to be confused with Fist of Fury, but it is a remake of that movie.
Yes.
Yep, Fist of Legend came out in 1994. This one was directed by Gordon Chan, released in Hong Kong. Jet Li was 31 at the time. Actually, he was older than I thought because he looked like really young in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought like mid-20s, like late-20s. 31's like on the cuff, but still a little older than what I anticipated. Very nimble though, like we kind of discussed. He definitely.
It's a lot faster here than.
It is a lot faster, and also I was actually surprised. Like almost no wire work. Like It was mainly like just him doing everything raw, you know, and like what he was like physically capable of. And so a lot of the choreography was just like raw, like fight scenes, yeah. You know.
And very inspired by Bruce Lee, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. But yeah, so like pretty much it's a remake of Fist of Fury, which came out in like 1972. That's starring Bruce Lee. I think that was like his second role and one of his most important. And yeah, so it's based off the same character, Chen Zhen. Same basic story, student of Huo Taijian, or Yan Jia, my bad. And... yeah, funny enough, I mean, we're doing this in order, but not really,
yeah.
But we are. So last movie was all about Huo Yanjia, and now it's about the senior student.
Yeah, so it basically kicks off right after the
whatever's
master, his master dies.
Like,
right?
Literally.
After he gets poisoned.
Yeah.
And then the student gets notice of it, and that's how it kicks off.
Yeah, right? He's like, whose head do I have to bust now?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, another interesting thing, though, is, like, Fist of Fury has been redone many, many times. And also has, like, just been, like, sequelized a lot, like, a lot of the Bruce Plantation stuff. And I think, like, this one is probably the first one that just kind of remade it, but without, like, a Bruce copy, but just, like, the movie itself, which Jet Li did. But just, like, I was just thinking, like, how, like, Chen Zhen... really is like a fictional character. Like, he's probably loosely based off one of the students named Liu Shenhen, but maybe not. But mostly Chen Zhen is like a fictional character.
I mean, he is a fictional character.
Yeah.
It's like, not like a
yeah. Right? Like, yeah. his whole story, like the whole thing is fake.
Yeah.
First portrayed by Bruce Lee, but there's been so many like interpretations and redos afterward, all based off Bruce Lee's character. It's just funny to like how big Bruce Lee was. Just how many redos of a fictional? It's not even a real person. Like, it's a fictional character.
Of a fake character. Yeah, like, yeah. 50 times.
Like, it's not like Fearless. Like, it's kind of like a biopic. It's based on this guy's life. Like, no, this is like a biopic on a fake person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's kind
of it's kind of like superhero movies and like kind of like remaking a Batman movie
exactly.
Or like something like that where it's like a fictional character but you keep on doing it over and over again.
But you find new ways to like keep pumping it out.
Yeah.
And he just kind of becomes legendary on his own.
Yeah.
So it's funny. It's just like you said, like superheroes okay, but just some random martial artist.
Right.
Like, you know, it's so because
at least
so
superhero
niche.
Like there's a kind of archetype and an icon there.
Right, right.
But this is kind of just like some dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like some fake character
that
somebody wanted to do, you know? And then it just kind of blew up into this culture thing, you know?
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of other examples, I'm sure, of like fictional characters that are like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of funny to see how much Bruce Lee's, that character in Fist of Fury, like popped off.
Right. Right. How much influence he had just in like pop culture. And filmmaking, especially in like Hong Kong and China, you know. I mean, I didn't watch Fist of Fury, so I can't really like say too much. But obviously, there are tons of like homages to Bruce Lee in this movie,
mm-hmm.
as well as the movie itself. And I think, I mean, this was a great movie. Actually, I really enjoyed it. It's definitely short, an hour and a half, which is cool. Dare I say, I might have liked this more than Fearless in some ways.
No, for me too, actually.
Because like it had the edge of a complete story. Like I was like, the story made sense. Like it all flowed well. Whereas in Fearless, it was almost there, but it dropped it in the third act. But here it was like, I get the complete tie. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, what was your first experience with this movie?
Probably watched it while my brother was watching it, and that's how I got in. You know, because my brother was very into Jet Li, so a lot of movies that I watched back then, like Kung Fu movies, was basically through my brother. And so this was one of the movies that I watched as well through that. And you know, it was just great. It's just so much action.
As he's like hogging the TV.
And yeah, like it's just like when you're at that age and when you see them doing these like choreographies and just like kicking ass, it just looks so cool, right? And you're like, oh man, I wish I could do that.
I wanna be that
I'm
guy.
I'm gonna be like that when I grow up, right?
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of the first impressions that I had about this movie as well.
Yeah. It's like I said, I think I was actually pretty surprised. I mean, the action is great and the coverage is great. I was really surprised to just, like I said, not see like almost no wire work being done. Just like how raw
it is.
Yeah, yeah. Just like the choreography. Again by Yong Woo Ping, who came back first time around and came back for Fearless. But I was like, yeah, like this definitely shows off like Bruce Lee. I mean, not Bruce Lee, but Jet Li. Bro, I'm never going to get Jet Li's name wrong, dude. What the freak?
For the whole series.
For those who are like, Jet Li who? But yeah, just like Jet Li's capabilities. Like this was definitely just a showcase of him, you know, all the way around and not being supported by. Like it's cool. I mean, like it also, like we talk about, I love the like the 80s kind of like Jackie Chan era where
ruggedness.
Yeah. It's got like that homemade feel of filmmaking.
Yeah.
And like clearly what you see is not safe and the way that it's executed is looks not safe.
Yeah.
And that this has that.
Especially like the first 5 minutes into the movie. And,
oh yeah.
And they start fighting in the classroom.
Bro, like
and you see some of those like legs like
yeah, brutal.
like twisted.
I'm like, this guy's breaking bones.
Yeah.
Those kids are in hospitals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it jumps off like immediately. And so yeah, I mean like that's an element that I enjoyed more than like after Fearless, where it felt more Hollywood, right? More like blockbustery, and this kind of went back a little rudimentary. But it has, you know, it just has like that nice little edge. There's that nice kind of ruggedness feeling to it. So all those things kind of cultivated to like why I enjoy this film a lot better than the first one. Yeah, I mean, so what is your, how did you feel about it this time around? After it was, when you watched it as a kid, was that like the only time you watched it?
No, I watched it a few times after that as well.
Right.
I kind of go back, I don't really go back to it, but like when I kind of want to watch something like this, I usually like watch this just because, like you said, the story is great. The characters are great. Like, there's a lot of nuance in this movie.
Yeah.
Especially with the themes and stuff that, you know, you don't usually get from, like, an action flick, right?
Yeah.
And there's, like, stuff like that. You know, like, there's an interesting, I guess, commentary on, like, the political things that are going on during that time, right? And stuff like that, too. And it's just, like, overall just a very, like, fun movie to watch in, like, many different aspects, right? Like, the action's good, the story's good, characters are fun.
Yeah.
Jelly's great. Like, the supporting characters are great. And it's just always fun to go back to. And even when I watched it, you know, for this, it just still holds up, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I like it, yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I'll get into that.
And I was very excited to, like, have you watch it. Yeah, because I had a good feeling that you would like it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about in a little bit, too. But I was definitely surprised. Well, like you said, it has, like, everything. But notably, like, it has a commentary. Like, it's actually saying things, especially for, like, the time that it's set in. Like, we were saying that I guess most of Jet Li's movies are very nationalistic, like very Chinese nationalistic. This one is like way more compared to Fearless.
Yeah.
You know?
But also he has a very like specific message almost that he wants to like talk about as well.
Yeah.
Where it's not just like nationalistic per se, even in this movie too, if you think about it, because like it's basically going out with a Japanese girl.
Yeah, he blurs the lines a lot. Yeah,
like it's almost like, you know, overcoming the bias of just like nationalism and like really seeing people for people.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of tried to do that with Fearless as well, with the message there too. And like both of these movies are very, if you think about it, like in one way, very nationalistic, right? It's like, let's go China, China good, right? Yeah. kind of thing. But there's also like a line there where he's also like, but other people aren't bad either, right? Yeah, like there are good people in China, and there are good people in Japan, and there are bad people in China, and there are bad people in Japan. Like it's not like this like binary thing, but it's more about like seeing people for who they are and how to, you know, navigate these good and bad and you know, gray areas.
Yeah. Yeah, like I mean, particularly here, it's like everybody that surrounds him is basically like has sort of that like racist kind of mentality, or is just seeing sort of black and white and like just anti-Japanese sentiment or anti just foreign sentiment, because it's like, you know, like both are set in like an imperialist time,
especially during like wartime, right?
Yeah. And like here, like Bruce Lee's Jet Li's character.
Yo, how many times are you gonna do that? Let me know so I can write it down. You know,
there's gonna be.
You want me to put like his name
in the end, like above the camera, just so you can see. Jet Li's character is always like he doesn't have that anti sentiment, but he's not judging the people by them being foreign or whatever race that they are, or rather judging them by like their actions,
right?
And like you know like he's always saying like, you know, they're like conquering our land, they're conquering our space, and they think that they can take what they want. And he's like being, you know, retaliating against that and retaliating against, you know, the clear like villains and the bad guys, but he's not writing a clear blanket over the Japanese. You know what I mean? And that here in this movie particularly, it gets through very nicely and very poignantly, because he's always acts like, and the people around him are always saying like you shouldn't be pro Japanese, like you should be with us and like pro China. And like even Mitsuko asks him, like in the beginning of the scene, is like, do you hate like all Japanese people? And he's like, well, I don't know. And he's not clearly blanketing people. He's you know, he's kind of like,
because
like
he's seen good people in Japan as well, right?
Right.
Like the sensei. That like helps him later on, the guy who
fights him.
Who fights him, also Mitsuko, who is basically his girlfriend, and like, you know, there are good people, and even the ambassador, funny enough, like he's kind of like, you know, like the Japanese ambassador, he's kind of like walking that line as well. And so it's definitely, you know, him trying to not paint everyone with one brush, and trying to see have people see that it's not just like a nationality thing, right? But it's really about like seeing people. And because even like in the Jingwu, his martial arts
school,
basically the people who betrayed them were Chinese people, right? Right. It's basically the cook and his disciple, right?
Yeah.
Like, so there are bad people, you know, even in his own family, like technically his family, right? His Jingwu school was basically his family. And so like that line really gets blurred, and it's just kind of saying like, you know, even the people closest to you can be, you know, not the best people.
Evil. Evil.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has a better, you know, he always has like the better perspective and kind of like the moral compass in that sense. But yeah, so like all those points, that's what I really enjoyed about this movie too.
Yeah.
Is just having that commentary and having something to say, like you said, and especially like in this era of films, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, like especially like you think Jackie Chan's films, like Police Story, like all those are made to kind of reflect more blockbuster Hollywood. Like they're just stories that are just exciting stories, like, you know, investigative or thriller or whatever. versus like they never really have anything to say that's that has substance anyway.
Yeah, you love that word, substance, right?
Substance. It's all about substance, guys. Okay. Substance.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is my week for the quick take. And hopefully it'll be quick. This is concise though. I think
it's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple.
The story's not that bad.
There, you know, there's a lot of like sub things though.
That is true.
That's where it kind of caught me. Uh-huh. I was like particularly like in the middle of the movie.
That's what makes this movie good too. Right?
Yeah.
It's like there are little things that like.
But not for the quick take where I was like, right. How do I sum up?
But it adds like spice to the movie for sure. Like, it's like really, yeah. It's like really good.
There's a lot of like. There's a lot of subplots. Like, actually, when I was going back, I was thinking, like, oh, that happens. Oh, yeah, then there was, like, that. And then there was, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot. But let's see what I got. So we follow Chen Zhen, who's my character. He's one of the senior students at the Jinwu School, which was head by Huo Yongjia. Chen currently studied overseas in Japan, but then he gets attacked in the school for being Chinese. He ends up beating everybody who tries to beat him up anyway. The students who attacked them were part of the Black Dragon Clan, and the teacher of that school is Fumio Funakoshi. Funakoshi tells him the news that Chen's teacher had just died in a challenge against a Japanese martial artist who's from the same clan. Chen immediately goes back to Shanghai in response to this and even leaves behind a little lady friend called Mitsuko. So when Chen arrives in Shanghai and he goes to his school, he mourns the loss of his teacher's passing and swears to get revenge by challenging the martial artist who killed Huo, which would be, his name would be Akutagawa. Chen ends up beating him pretty swiftly. Concluding that this guy actually couldn't have bested his teacher and starts to suspect something bigger. So seeking the truth, he suspects that his teacher was actually poisoned and therefore weakened before the challenge, which is why he lost. So through some connections with a doctor that he has, he digs up the body of his teacher and samples the liver to confirm his suspicion that he was in fact poisoned. Chen further suspects that, well, actually not even Chen, it was the uncle, I believe, were just like, everybody's kind of talking like, who could have poisoned him? Like, who's close? They kind of basically suspected that there was a mole within the school and somebody had to be a traitor and backstab him, which ends up turning out to be true as well. In fact, there were like two traitors within, which turned out to be like the cook and some other guy.
One of the disciples.
Yeah. So during this kind of like, as the story goes on, there's a couple of like political dramas within the Jinwu school, because even though that the son of Yongjia, his name is Tingen, is supposed to be the heir to the headmaster, Chen Zhen is the better martial artist. And so this kind of causes some rift between the students and just kind of like the structure as a whole. People kind of start to question the sort of new authority, essentially. So when this relationship starts to get heated up, after Mitsuko comes and helps Chen in a situation and they found out that he's going out with someone who's Japanese, this causes tension, and basically Chen and Tingen fight to kind of determine who will be the head of the school. And even though Chen wins, he denounces his position and decides to self-exile with Mitsuko, pretty much displacing himself from the school. During this time, there's the big heavy guy is revealed to be this guy named General Fujita, who's kind of like the head snake and planned everything. And he's the one that basically set up failure for the Jinwu school by basically he's like gets all these people that are proxies. Mm-hmm. And he ends up like he's responsible for poisoning.
Yeah, he bribed the disciple to tell the cook
to poison the teacher. Mm-hmm. He even tries to. He kills Arakawa after he finds out the truth, or Akutagawa. And then after killing him, he blames the murder on Chen Zhen. And then all of the students of that school try to like go to the Jinwu school and get revenge on Chen Zhen, which doesn't turn out, but there's that. He also hires Funakoshi, doesn't even really hire him, but like just kind of like says you have to go after these guys.
Yeah.
And then Funakoshi challenges Jin Zen after, obviously, because he still thinks that he was responsible for his student's death. And it kind of comes out in a draw, but they kind of have like mutual respect after the fact. And it all leads to like the final battle with Jin Zen
and Fujita.
Not even Fujita, the other guy. Tingen.
Yeah.
I'm mixing up with Funakoshi. But they get together to fight Fujita.
General Fujita, yeah.
The big guy.
Yeah.
The guy who's like made out of stone.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they fight him in the end, and then they murder that guy. Man, that scene where like it's like they decide to go in them to like no backup, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there's like the big set piece, and then Fujita brings in the disciple who is like the mole,
mm-hmm.
and it just like shoots him there on the spot. I was like, damn, they actually went there. He just like nothing. It was just like, bop, he's dead now.
He's goners.
I was like, oof, all right. That was kind of quick and sudden, but I'm going to roll with it.
Yeah.
And so it felt like it should have been a bigger deal, but it just like.
We got to cut it somewhere. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so then they fought, and then the movie kind of ended. They like faked Jin Zen's death.
Well, once Fujita died, the Japanese army basically comes in, and the Japanese ambassador comes as well. And they're like, a Japanese general died, and we gotta blame somebody.
This ain't gonna look good.
Yeah, so basically they scapegoated Jin Zen and kind of faked his death so that he would be blamed for it. But they faked his death and so that he can basically go back. And,
yeah. And he ends up being seen as like a hero in the end too.
Yeah.
Funny enough, right? And yeah, so that's kind of it. There's a, like we said, there's a lot of like subplots in this movie. Like, you know, so Jin Zen gets exiled. There's like the whole him and Mitsuko bit. There's whole like him and Tingen basically butting heads versus like who's going to be the head of the school. There's like the whole school political mess that goes on.
And Tingen also has his own like concubine who turns into a.
Yeah, there's a whole Tingen himself as like not really being that pure too. There's just so many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Substance.
And then, you know, Funakoshi and
Funakoshi
Jin Zen kind of talking it out almost, and kind of like
it's like the martial teaching artist them way.
And like learning to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tingen also like comes later and he's like, yo, if I die, teach my martial arts style to you know, my disciples.
To my disciples, as a matter of fact, you got it. Jin Zen, you got it.
And he like learns it in like 10 seconds.
Immediately. It's nothing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some that are not my favorite. They like shoot the whole with the cook when it's revealed that he was the one that in fact poisoned him. Because they like, they put the blame on him initially. Like somebody had to poison his food. And then he comes out and is like, F all you guys for blaming me. He's like, I've been a part of this family for like years. Like, he's like, get in the kitchen. Like, if you think I'm lying, like, you know, he's like, whatever. He's being like the grandpa sort of bit, which that scene was fine. But then they shoehorn in later that he is, in fact, the betrayal, the traitor, as well as like this other guy that we didn't even know about.
Yeah.
So it just kind of came suddenly. But I didn't like that they shoehorn in like the reason why, which was like, oh, his son is in jail for like because of murder. And that the whole bribe was like, I'll free your son if you kill Yeonji, like this whole bit, but it was just like exposition just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, it just happened so fast and it was like so much that I think I had like trouble kind of grasping it. And it just didn't like, there was no time for it to like kind of settle or brew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was shoehorned, so it wasn't like, it was like whatever. So I that kind of was like whatever for me. What else? I feel like there was one other thing. Maybe that was it. yeah, that's probably it. I mean, the biggest thing is, overall for me, I really like this movie, but I do think, like, it has like great ideas, like all these like kind of like subplots, and, like the drama within the school and like the political sides that are happening, and just like the overall kind of story. Like everything has great ideas, has great scenes. I think like if this movie was done today, like if it was just executed better, you know, if it didn't have like we said, kind of like the ruggedness of being sort of like low budget, or just, you know, being set, like being just being filmed so long ago, like this movie could really be like amazing today. You know what I mean?
I think it still holds up. I think it's, yeah. Cause like what I'm scared of is like, it's just going to get like turned into this Hollywood Frankenstein thing.
That's what we can't let happen. We can't. Yeah, no.
If it were to be made again now, but I don't know, there's a charm to it that like, I don't know, it's very, it's like simple, but it's also kind of like complicated.
That's what, yeah, yeah.
That's what I like about it, you know?
It's like, cause it's got the action that you want. Like it's got showing off the martial arts. And what's great is that like, I mean, everything works and like the fighting makes sense, you know? I mean, something's kind of happened suddenly, like, I don't know, it like it works. Like in the beginning, after a second watch, I'm like, okay, there's a fight scene in the first 5 minutes, which is like cool. That's a great way to start a movie, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like it flows with the story, like, oh, there's this rival school now. And then like Funakoshi comes back later, which is a nice nod, you know? And then yeah, I mean like
Mitsuko comes to save him for like during the court scene.
Right.
And there's a lot of different little things that kind of make it tie in like these like these, you know, payoffs. Yeah, payoffs. Right, they set up a lot of different little things in the beginning,
yeah,
and they pay it all off by the end. So I think that's why it feels good. You know, like by the end of the movie, you're like,
oh yeah,
everything's kind of nice bow.
Yeah, like that's what I was saying. Like nothing is kind of comes out of nowhere. Like everything that happens or comes in is like already there. Like everything has context,
yeah.
Except for like the cook bit, which kind of comes out of nowhere. But like, yeah, like the school, and then like once you know that the guy who challenged and killed the teacher was part of the clan, like that's why they go and seek revenge. And then like I really like the the scene where it's like when they find out when they think that Chenzen murdered their teacher, and they go back with all their katanas,
yeah,
and it's just like school versus school, like this super like like battle to the death school brawl, you know?
Yeah,
it has a different tone versus than like a street fight. Like these guys are gonna kill each other for sure. That was a great scene. Like, they have, like, nice, but it's also, like I said, it doesn't have, like, the Hollywood factor where it doesn't feel, like, grand in a fake way, but it has such a grounded element.
It just really legit feels like they're just kind of,
yeah, they're just, like,
together.
Dirty fighting. Yeah, yeah.
Beating people up.
Like a biker gang. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, like, everything just kind of works. I mean, we're going to talk about favorites. The Funakoshi fight is definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that scene a lot. He comes out, like, of the crop dust. Mm-hmm. Like a samurai.
Yeah.
And he's like, who's there? And he's just like, it's Funakoshi. Mm-hmm. I love the dichotomy with him and Mitsuko. And he's like a little niece. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, you know, I'm broke. I can't pay for that pen.
And then, like, he also, like, right before he's about to fight, he's like,
wait. I'm old. I have to warm up first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole fight scene was awesome. Mm. And then he, like, adopts the boxing style, yeah. Right? And he's like, if it works, it doesn't matter. He's like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, like, springy for an old man, you know?
Yeah, like, that's what I like about, especially, I think this is something that a lot of action movies kind of have lost in recent years, is like telling a story within the action.
Right.
And I think this movie does it really well. And like a lot of the older action movies, they do it really well.
Right.
But like the newer ones, it's really just there for the action.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like something that's kind of sad for me to see, like these days when I see like an action movie, it's literally just to be like a spectacle, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like in like older action movies, like this movie, like it, like the action is there to serve the story, and like there are beats within the action. Like there's a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, yeah.
Within the action, as well, which makes it so much more engaging, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah. like you want to see, and you're like engaged in like, oh, who's going to win? What's happening? Like, there's a clear like winning and losing and like all yeah. that's happening, right?
An ebb and flow.
And you can see like, yeah, you can see how the tables are turning. And and a great example of that is when Tingen and Chenzen are fighting. Mm. They're having their who's going to be the master fight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And during that moment, like when Chenzen starts using his like boxing style, right?
Yeah.
And then
turns into Bruce Lee.
Yeah, yeah. He's starting and he's kind of winning with that, right? And then Tingen, he like there's like one shot of like him like close up of his face.
Yeah.
And he like sees his feet, and he like notices his feet, and then it goes down to a close-up shot of Chenzen's feet.
Yeah.
And then right after that, like, he does, like, this, like, fake, and then he, like, kicks his feet because, you know, he's, like, doing his hop step, right?
Right, yeah.
And then he kicks it while he's, like, about to, like, hop. Mm. And, like, it's just that kind of, like, dynamic where, like, and I think this is credit to the choreographer, because it's, like, he knows exactly what, like, how the dynamic of the action is going, which is why he's like, yeah, this will be a great moment to like highlight, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, by highlighting that, it really is changing the dynamic of the fight and making it so much more interesting.
Yeah.
And like, they do that constantly within this movie, which is great. And I think, like, it's sad that, like, nowadays, like, action is a lot less about the story, and it's right. a lot more about just like, oh, how cool it's can just a this set piece. Be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing, I forgot from where, but like, you can't have action for the sake of action. Like I said, yeah, it just can't be a set piece. Like, you have to tell a story within fighting. Like, there has to be a reason why two proponents are going up against each other. There has to be like stake, and you just have to tell a story through action while you're doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, this movie just does it really great. Like, there's context, like, before the fight, there's a reason why they're fighting, and there's even a story, like, with their action and as they're fighting. Like, there's a clear arc with, like, how they're going about and, like, who's winning. Like, you know, Chenzen takes advantage of being more fluent and, like, knowing boxing and, like, Western fighting over, like, everybody else, because they're just so stricken with their own style of martial art that gives them the edge, but everybody, like, adopts it or like takes advantage of it in a little way, and it's like that's how you create kind of like the story that's going through,
right?
Like, it's all really engaging, like you said. It's
yeah, like the Funakoshi fight too, like that's like prime example as well, where yeah, like yeah. you know, when the wind starts like, you know, coming in and they're like, okay,
I don't want any advantage,
yeah, we're gonna fight blind. Like, that's like adding so much to the story as well. Even the Fujita fight at the end, like, they're like, there's this moment when Fujita is like bleeding from his eye, and Jet Li, Chenzen, he sees that moment. He's like, oh, he's like, flinking. Yeah, he's like blinking his eyes, capitalize on that moment. Like,
yeah.
Those little moments are like so good, right? Like, it really like is emphasizing the moment, right? It adds to the dynamic of the fight, and like really, like, putting the audience in a position where they also understand like what's kind of going to happen, right?
Yeah,
because you're like, oh,
he's gonna
hit him now, because it's like he's blinking his eyes, like he can't really see.
Yeah,
that's a perfect time to strike. Like, that is like, you know, bringing the audience in at the same level of you know, the character.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, like that's great, and like this movie does a great job with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just nice to know what you're watching. Like, there should always be a reason for like what you're watching.
Yeah,
to get context to it. Where if it's just like action for action's sake, it's like,
yeah. Well, why also, another thing about the Fujita fight is like that moment when Fujita is about to do his like ultimate like backbreaking thing,
yeah.
And that's kind of like his ultimate move, right? Because we saw him do that to Aka Tagawa or whatever his name is, the other guy that Chenzen fought at the very beginning. Basically, that's how he killed him. And so that's his killer move.
He's backbreaker.
And he's able to, you know, get out of that by adapting. And you know, like, it's just this whole payoff, right?
Yeah.
Of even that.
Comes back, yeah.
Yeah, of even that one, like, choreography is, like, kind of coming full circle within the story as well. It's just so good.
It's still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. Especially, like, I mean, like, today with action movies, like, not only that, but also just, like, the way that they're edited and cut. Like, you can't piece together what... Most of the times, I can't piece together what I'm watching because it's, like, cut after cut after cut after cut, like, yeah, trying to make the pace fast. But, like, visually, it's, like, I don't know what I'm watching. Like, is that left punch, right punch? Like, yeah, the... Just, like, blocking-wise, it's, like, I don't know what's going
but
on.
But you can, like, clearly see what's like, going on. Yeah, right? Yeah. Like... Even the close-up shots, you're, because we have a reference of the wide established, right?
Yeah, we have.
We see them full body, two guys just standing like a fighting game, right? Back to back like this.
Yeah.
And they're like throwing punches and kicks, and then we go in, and then,
yeah,
you know, like it adds that.
We always have a sense of place.
Place even, and understanding of like what's going on within the area.
Even in the crowded scenes, right? Like, because there's a couple scenes that... It's fighting a crowd, like there's multiple proponents.
Yeah, like even the very first one.
The very first one, right.
Or the school for school.
Yeah, which is like even bigger because it's not only 1 versus 10, it's like 20 versus 20 in that sense. So it's like constantly being like where what's happening where and like what's important in that scene. And I really liked that schoolyard fight because it did a really good job of like keeping track of Tingen, who's like the leader, right, in that sense. But then also the students are like trying to cut down the
altar.
The altar. Yeah. And they're like, protect the altar. And there's like 10 of them out of nowhere and they gang up. Even like the women, like they take up swords and they start defending themselves.
And they're like bleeding.
It was hardcore, dude. Yeah. It was like some lives are gonna be lost. Yeah,
girls are getting slapped.
Bro, nobody was safe in that fight. Yeah. That's what got me.
It don't matter who you are.
They were killing anybody, That's what got me. I was like, yo, they're not playing. If you're in this school, I'm cutting you.
Yeah.
I'm taking this katana to your face. Yeah, that was crazy. But it's fun. It's cool. It's daring, you know. There's a lot to be learned in this movie for sure. This would be a tough one to top, I think. Anything that you kind of disliked, maybe?
What I disliked?
Dun, dun, dun.
I honestly don't really have anything that I like specifically disliked about the movie. I mean, maybe the ending. I feel like it was kind of like, oh, we're done.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I think that's probably the thing that I kind of didn't like.
We killed the heavy, so roll credits.
Yeah, like, yeah, basically as soon as, you know, he dies and then we see like the people carrying the...
The body, yeah.
Yeah. Once, and then we kind of see a shot of Chen Zhen in the carriage and then just like, okay, we're done now.
Okay.
Let's go.
Michiko who?
Yeah. So that's, you know, I think it would have been nice if, you know, we see him in Japan and then like, you know.
Sure, oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
It ends with like, oh, Michiko finally sees him.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know.
He fulfilled his promise, like he went back to Japan and stuff. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like it's not a bad ending. I just feel like it was like kind of abrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know,
better than the last one, I think. Still. But yeah, it said what it needed to say, you know, and it wrapped up when it needed to wrap up.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, because like we know that he's gonna go back to Japan, obviously.
Right.
And it was like, why don't you just show us that then? You know, sure. Like instead of just like saying it or like.
Well, actually, it like alluded that he went to Manchuria to continue fighting.
No, really?
Yeah, because he gets in the car, right, and then he asks the driver. Like, where's more likely to break out in China? And he tells them, like, a certain district or whatever.
Really? Didn't he say, like, oh, like, I'm going to go to with the woman I love?
No, that's in the dubbed part of the movie.
Oh.
Did you watch it dubbed?
No, I watched it with subs.
The subs?
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, in the English dub, there are some lines that are actually changed and they change the context.
I see.
And that's how they end it in the US version of it.
Where he's maybe like, the sub was like was a different translation of the dub. That's why.
Oh, okay. The one I read was like the other one. But
okay.
What bootleg version did you watch?
I watched the version. The oldest one.
There's like 30 versions of this movie.
That's true. There's a lot
there's
of
always, there's always like a million of these old ones. Yeah. What do you think of Chen Zhen's character, though? Like, Jet Li portraying his character?
It's very, like... It's very Jet Li. in one sense, you know, like it's very, you know, like that almost serious character. Yeah. Not a lot of laughs and very like,
he's so like,
hyper focused on what he needs to do kind of character.
He's so one note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which like, I don't think is necessarily bad, but
like it works in, I guess you could say it's akin to John Wick in a sense, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. Where he's the same wherever, you know, but somehow he carries a story even though there's no change to him.
Yeah. Like he's literally the, like, the paragon of good, right? Like he's like, he can do no wrong kind of character, right?
Right. And he's so sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He in everything he's always right, basically. Like he doesn't really do anything wrong, right? Like it's like he's always trying to do the best thing and the most right thing, and he's always, you know, looking out for the, you know, people he wants to protect, and like it's always like that, and there's not really a gray side to him, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. Like, you know, sometimes it's just good to have a character who's just good.
He's just straight up great. Just
straight up, like, you know,
he can doing do no what's wrong. Right.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't always have to be these like gray moral characters.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, I don't think it was bad. And I think his acting is pretty good in this movie as well. And I think it, you know, it gets better. I think Fearless was had a broader acting range for Jet Li, but in this movie, you know, it's a lot more one note, but I think he still carried it out pretty well. Mm. You know, his scenes with Mitsuko wasn't that bad either. I think it wasn't like crazy, like, you know, romance stuff, but I think it still worked. Plenty well. And you know, the moments when he's fighting with Tingen and like him having that conflict, right, is not bad either. So
yeah,
overall, like, I think he did a good job in terms of acting.
I think his character works especially well in the Tingen thing because he's, like I said, he's just the good guy.
Yeah, he's just so like hyper focused on one thing. He's like, I didn't even think about this.
Whereas Tingen is the direct opposite. Like, he is a person with flaws, you know? Like, obviously, he's got the whole affair with the concubine. And so, like, that makes for a great dichotomy between them.
Yeah.
Of, like the purity guy versus the other guy. Like, Tingen isn't necessarily bad, but he's, like, he's more human.
Also, he has his issues, right? And he's not the best, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the best martial artist, right?
I try my best, you know?
Right, right. He's a lot more, like, human, like, relatable in that sense. And also, one thing that I loved about that dichotomy as well is, like, Tingen has the concubine, and, you know, Chen Zhen has Mitsuko. Cool.
Yeah.
And I love that dichotomy of, like, you know, the Japanese woman and the Chinese woman, and like how they kind of like talk about that within the school, and like letting the concubine stay but not letting Mitsuko stay, and like all that jazz.
Nanko was like, we'll take
that layer, right? That other layer. I love that too.
Yeah. It's just so many. There's so many like little nice layers.
I just love the comparison. Right? Like the perfect like foil to one another. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
In those two characters.
It definitely had. There's so much like just a social commentary.
Yeah, and like, it's like Mitsuko is kind of, to be honest, Mitsuko is like kind of like a not the best character. Right? It's kind of flat character.
Sure.
But like that dichotomy really added to like fleshing her out more.
Yeah. You know?
Like giving
it
her,
gave her a reason to be in the movie.
Like it made her more like, you know, kind of like, oh wow, like that kind of is really relatable, right? Like being in a foreign country, like people have like, you know, discriminate against you and have certain like preconceived notions about who you are, and like it brings that in with you know, having that comparison.
Like, I'd rather have someone that is more similar to me but worse, than give someone who's like pure. But Chinese.
But other, right?
Yeah, it was like...
And then, like, you know, that really, like, elevated her character to another level because of that fact that there is that layer there.
Yeah.
Where if it didn't have that, it would kind of been like, oh, it's just like an accessory to Chen Zhen. And, like, you know, girlfriend, whatever.
You're like, there's the love interest. Yeah, like,
fine, perfect, great.
Whatever.
You know? But, like, it kind of adds that. And you're like, oh, that's actually kind of kind of cool, right?
Right.
Kinda
yeah.
Interesting.
Like it just adds again to, I think, just like if Jet Li's like overall commentary, like for Chen Zhen's character is being, like we said, like just not judging people by their nationality or the race or whatever, but just more judging by their characters and actions. Like that just more furthers like everybody else's perspective is judging by their nationality, just by like surface level things,
yeah,
versus like their character,
right,
and like who they are, yeah, right? Because that's like a clear like night and day.
Exactly.
Like Mitsuko is clearly the more better person, or as far as just like lifestyle wise, yeah, whereas
or
like
trying to be a better person,
or trying to be, versus like somebody else's background in this. But the decision was made based off the book by its
who
cover.
They are, yeah.
So it's like
well, by their nationality.
Nationality. Yeah. So it's so like it's just nice that it more further reengages. Like
yeah, reinforces
message.
That message, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's so fun, yeah.
And it's like it's awesome because it's like it's kind it's like subtle, like that works in a scene, but also the way that he does it is it's not hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's like, oh wow, obviously.
Yeah,
it's there.
you watch like anybody watch the movie and be like, clearly there's racism here.
Yeah, and it's understandable, right? Even like not that the Jingwu like school, like the people there
are
in the right, but you can still understand them, right? You can still see where they're coming from.
Mm.
And you could also see where, you know, like Chen Zhen is coming from. And
yeah,
like
yeah.
You're there, you get both perspective, which is nice.
Yeah. It's the right way. It's the right way to do things.
Right.
Yeah. So I definitely applaud Jet Li for being that kind of storyteller. I think like another kind of attribute.
Oh,
of
Gordon Chan.
Gordon Chan. I mean, well, Jet Li produced this movie too, though.
Yeah.
So it's not like he didn't have a lot to go.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, obviously, but.
But I mean, overall, like I mean, even in Fearless, like he always
exactly.
takes good care of the story within his movies. It seems like you know, and that's kind of it seems like a nice trait that he has versus like some of the other popular martial artists.
Yeah, that's what I like about Jet Li and a lot of his movies too. It's like
he cares for substance.
Well, you know, I'm sure other movies as well too. Like right, it really depends on the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some certain movies are more just for like fun and whatever, but a lot of his movies, you know, it just I don't know, there's something to it. Like there's something that is very attractive. That's why, you know, I was shocked on you. Like I've never watched Jet Li movies before. I'm like,
Jet Li who?
Bro.
You mean Bruce Lee?
I know. Like, Bruce Lee. Fist of Fury?
Fist of Fury.
Right? It's really, you know. Yeah, that's why I was excited to share, you know, these movies to you as well. Because like it's not just that it's like great action, but there's also a lot of stuff there, like that's also interesting and fun to watch. So
Yeah, definitely took me more by surprise that there's this kind of extra layers to be dug out.
Especially when you watch the trailers, right? It's just like,
oh my god! But like
action, let's go.
We gotta watch like the Chinese like
trailers,
trailers versus because what we were watching are like the Westernized trailers when they come out from DVD and shit.
Yeah.
And clearly, it's like they're marketing for two different things there.
Mm.
I mean, I feel like, you know, the way that it's marketed also, like, in Hong Kong or wherever it's made, that it's probably a little similar.
Yeah,
like, marketing is marketing.
Yeah, it is going to be mainly, like, this is action, right?
Yeah. Come and watch for a butt kick fest. So, in that sense, but then you get, like, a little special something when you watch it for real.
Yeah.
So,
This is, it's kind of like a feel-good movie in one way, too.
you think so? I don't know.
For me.
I wouldn't akin this to
watch
a feel-good.
Well, your definition of feel good is like
like feel good. I don't know.
Love Actually or something like
that. Yeah, exactly.
I think or like About Time or something like that.
Exactly. We're not gonna that's a different
That's your idea of feel good.
It's a different conversation. But yeah, I think that's what most people think.
Maybe. I don't know. It's like, you know, a good story, a good wrap up. There's everything in it.
It's a fun movie. I don't know about feel good.
No,
but it's fun.
It feels good when I watch it. Like, that was a great movie. It kicked ass. Felt good.
That's two.
The good guy wins. Yeah.
That's 4-year-old Lee talking, standing by at his brother.
Hey. It is what it is.
In the television.
It is what it is.
come and watch Jackie Chan ride this bus while he almost dies. Yeah, this was a great one. Next week, we're going to watch Hero, which came out in 2004, directed by Yimou Zhang Song. Again, I haven't watched this one.
This is going to be probably... It's going to be very different from the ones we watched in terms of, like, thematics and just the complete, like, the cinematography of it, the style of it. You watched the trailer last week.
Briefly. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very different in terms of, like, from what we've watched so far. Yeah, I'm curious to see how you would like it.
I'm going
to
hate it.
You might.
Wow, don't say that so fast now. Now I gotta believe it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Who knows what you like?
Right. Who knows what you like? You don't like anything. Hero. Yeah, should be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is definitely a movie that I kind of seen around.
It's fun. It's I think cinematography wise, it's beautiful. Like the use of colors, the way that they shot it. Obviously, it's what's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type of that style.
Gotcha.
Of movie, gotcha. You know.
But so Ang Lee did this.
But yeah.
All right. Cool.
See how it is.
So more wire work.
This is not necessarily like a. Like a Jet Li movie. It's like him included with this like AAA cast.
So it's like more ensemble?
Yeah.
Then?
Right. These big actors and.
Gotcha.
You know, they're in this movie and
they're doing. Well, no, this is a Jet Li series. We can't just.
Hero is, but.
We're breaking the rules now.
I mean, it is. It is. No. I'm just saying that like. You know, for the past two movies, he was very focused on this one character, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, like, in Hero, it's a lot more... Yeah, it's still focused. So I mean, it's still focused on one character, but there's a lot of stuff going on as well. Like, you know, big actors there.
The Jet Li, like, element is kind of removed a little more.
It's more like, you know, in the other two, it's like Jet Li's always in your face. Right?
Yeah.
It's like... He's the one big
literally
actor.
In this movie. Like, right? When he gets in the face of that guy every time.
Oh, yeah. That was great, too.
He was like, you can't touch me, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
So it'll be a different kind of angle, too. You know, and we'll see different parts of who he is, like his acting and stuff. Like
that'd be cool. Yeah. Definitely, should be interesting. Definitely interested to see an ensemble movie for sure.
Yep.
But that'll be next week. So we'll see you guys for Hero. Just a quick shout out to our Patreon page. Come and check it out. We'll have a couple neat things. I'm going to start putting some episodes in advance. So if you want access first, come and see. We're available on... we've been on Spotify, but now there's video on Spotify. So if you were listening, you can now watch us there. Or if you wanted to kind of move on to a different platform, maybe Spotify's easier for you versus YouTube, you can kind of check us out there. Or if you're listening, you can keep on listening to where you are listening from. Anyway, see you next week. Peace.
Bye.